It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 697. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/miketechshow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial, and you can also go directly to instanthousecall.com. Last night, I booked my airfare to TechCon Unplugged. That is happening September 20th to the 22nd in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Go to TechConUnplugged.com for your tickets. We have the full agenda except for Sunday afternoon to be determined, and we are working very diligently on getting, I think, impressive tech topics for the afternoon where we're going to deep dive with some great tech. You will get something out of this conference. The tickets are only $200. It's so inexpensive. You can get a discount on the room by going to the website. And there's also a discount code for the airline. Come join us. Get your tickets before you get shut out. We're getting close to that sellout. TechCon Unplugged. Sign up. I hope to see you there. Tonight's show got a lot to talk about. The first thing is going to be a little deeper dive into BitLocker. And what if your system does not support TPM? How do you handle this? And I ran into clients that have to have BitLocker security turned on. We're going to talk about how you do that. I have a question about the profile wizard, because I had to do a lot of work last Friday and I had problems. And I'm going to tell you where I was successful and where I had problems. I have a question. Also, do you get that annoying plugged in but not charging message with your battery on your laptop? I'm going to talk about that. A few other in the trenches stories and a stack of email that some I can answer, some I can't. So I'm going to need your help. So let's begin with BitLocker. This is encryption for the hard drive on a laptop, a desktop that's running Windows 10 Pro. You go to control panel, you can turn it on, or you can go right into the settings. When you turn it on, it encrypts the drive. There's a message comes up for you to save a backup of the key. You need to do that. And I've talked about that many times. You gotta have that recovery key saved on an independent USB stick. Next, you'll want to do a test. It says, would you like to do a test for the encryption and reboot? Absolutely. Do a reboot. Upon reboot, you'll get a little message down on the side that it's continuing the encryption. Now, you can use your system. It's just that the encryption is going to go a little slower. System might just, performance will be down a little bit. But it is fairly quick in getting your system encrypted. Now, why do you want an encrypted hard drive? And then we're going to get into how do you do this if TPM, trusted platform module, what if it's not supported? I'm going to get into those details. But first, if someone steals the laptop, if you lose the laptop, if they can't guess the password and break in, you think, just open up the system and take the drive out. That drive is worthless in being able to connect it and get anything off it unless you have this extremely long recovery key. There's no way you're getting into that drive. So for compliance, for FINRA, for HIPAA. Anybody that falls under those compliance, I make sure every system that's in the office or any system that they're using for business, we have full drive BitLocker encryption. So how about a financial advisor that they bought systems that TPM is not available in the security section of the BIOS? Because you need to turn that on so this way BitLocker will just naturally work. But what if you don't have that? What if you don't have TPM? The first link for tonight is using the Group Policy Editor to enable BitLocker authentication in the pre-boot environment for Windows 7, 8, 8.1, and 10. Now, we don't want to deploy 7 or 8 or 8.1 right now. It's all about getting Windows 10 installed on all of your clients before Windows 7 runs out of having security updates. So this is actually from the Dell website. And if you scroll down and you get a message that states TPM is not supported, you can edit the group policy according to the instruction here. And you got a couple choices. Once you get to computer configuration, administrative templates, Windows components, BitLocker drive encryption, operating system drives, you can enable and then create two things. One, a pre-boot password. Now that can get annoying because the screen comes up and it's you can't even boot to the operating system unless you answer a password that you set. Then it'll go boot Windows and then you log in with the Windows password. There's another way, which is to permanently have a USB stick. And without that USB stick, you can't boot the computer. Now, if you're going to choose this method, you need two USB sticks or what I'm going to describe. So you have one USB stick that's in place and you follow the prompt to save the key permanently to that USB stick. So now, if that USB stick's not in, you're not booting. But if it's in, then it'll boot. Taco, it's a great recommendation to store the PIN in Active Directory. That's if you have Active Directory. As a matter of fact, most of my financial advisors do not have Active Directory because they're very small offices and they're not allowed to have servers because that breaks compliance. They have to store everything in the approved cloud storage of their broker-dealer. So I run into a lot of clients that do not have, and if they didn't, they don't have a server, they don't have a shared storage at the location. So you have to save that key, not only to the pre-boot USB stick, but now back up the key to a separate USB stick. So now I'm doing this remotely for a client. Their system got redone without my involvement and the encryption wasn't set up. And they were being audited this past Monday. This is last Wednesday. And I remote in and he didn't have another USB stick. There's an option to print the recovery key. Now, I know this isn't as secure. I printed it and I said, go right to the printer. Did it print? Yes. I said, now you got to securely save that. This is critical to recovering your system if you have another problem or we're not getting your data back. He's securely saving that and everything's working. But I wanted to review that because some people need the encryption. They have Windows 10 Pro, but the computer itself does not support TPM. Now, if you see TPM and you want to turn it on, you have to go into the BIOS. Then look under security and enable TPM. Once you enable that security setting and activate, reboot, go back into Windows, and now you can easily just turn on BitLocker and you don't have to go through that dedicated USB, but you still need a USB to back up the key. Now, if you're lucky enough to have Active Directory, you can store the PIN in Active Directory. This question is for all of my profile experts that are listening. You know I love and use the Profile Wizard. Here is the situation I ran into, and then I'll tell you how I dealt with it. I was given the task to retire a server where all of the files that they were sharing were going to be put into OneDrive for the few people that are accessing it. This Active Directory domain, I used the Profile Wizard to demote the workstation to a work group and then move the profile to a local profile. So before I can do that, I got to create a local account. So this way, it asks, which account do you want? I put join a work group. So this way, it'll demote it. And then the option, I type in the name of the local profile that I just created. What if I have four profiles on the same system? You can only pick one to do it. Now, I messed things up on a station, and I was able to get out of it. And I tried, after I already demoted the system, tried to convert another profile. I no longer could convert that profile. So I had to create new profiles and manually copy from the one profile to the other onto the system to be able to get it to work. And I had to slightly rename the new local profile. Instead of, let's say, M. Smith, I had to put Mike Smith as an example, and then copied the information. So I had duplicate, I had two profiles for everybody, and then copied the information. There's got to be something I'm not seeing or not doing right on the Profile Wizard. So I'm going to have a link. And how do you manage migrating multiple profiles from a single desktop? And I had two systems. I had one with two profiles and one with four for this particular client that gave me headaches last Friday when we were doing that. Everything else went great. And I was able to successfully do everything except for these extra profiles, because there's visitors from another location that come down there and use these two systems that are kind of shared, and they had Active Directory profiles set up. But once the first one's done and I unjoin the domain, that's it. Game over for the other profiles. So how do you solve that? Or did I solve it where, hey, you only can pick one that you're going to migrate? That was the main one. And the others, you kind of have to do what I did. It just takes longer. I could use your help for that. MikeTechShow@gmail.com. My Lenovo laptop that I use for really one particular client that I'm on site every week, and I have this laptop dedicated and set up to all the software and programs that I need for that client. I'm on site last week, and my battery won't charge. And not only what won't charge, it's at 0%. And it says plugged in but not charging. I have two links. I went through every single option. The big one that seems to work for everybody when this happens. And it's worth trying before you have to buy another battery. Unfortunately, I had to buy another battery. You shut the system down. You pull the battery out. You hold the button in for starting the system with nothing connected for 30 seconds. You then put the battery back. You boot up. And supposedly that fixes the problem with Windows 10 with plugged in and not charging. I had another client this week, I couldn't believe, called me. He was traveling and he was having this problem. And I said, it's a battery. He says, no, Mike. He says, I don't get this message when it's docked. I said, well, now I think it's your AC adapter, you know, the plug, and go get another charger instead of a battery. I said, you know what? It's probably not a bad idea to buy another battery anyway. They're inexpensive. I still haven't followed up. This was only a couple days ago because he's still traveling. And when he gets back, I want to see how he made out. But I walked him through on the phone what I just did, and that didn't help anything. So I know a lot of people think that that solves it, but a new battery completely solved my problem. This battery, though, lasted me only a year. I was very disappointed. And this is the second battery for this laptop. So I'm burning through batteries. So there's probably something else that's going on there. But right now it's up, it's running, it's working. I'm happy. I bought another power cord too, just in case. That's something I go through because I don't wrap them properly. And when you bend and it starts to fray, that's another problem. So what's going on for my Friday? Tomorrow, my son and I were going to be on site at an orthodontist that is 100% MAC. Well, I shouldn't say 100%. I should say 95% MAC, because the main X-ray system, and I think I've talked about this, connects to a very, very old computer. And when that died, we had to go on eBay for the replacement and get it all set up. So now I even have a fully functional backup system that we can just roll in, that's plugged, that's literally in a box that also was bought from eBay as a backup, and we can just roll it in. Well, he's getting a whole new X-ray machine that was installed today. I'm meeting the installer and tech tomorrow on site, and we're going to get it connected again and shared out so this way they can take the X-rays, and then the technicians that have Macs can go to that shared PC and add the X-rays to their application, which is a Mac app and a Mac server called TOPS for orthodontic software. He really wants a Mac. Thing is, these X-ray machines do not support saving to a Mac. So he has to have this PC. So we got this mission critical single PC in the center of the office. So it's going to be interesting in what's updated. Hopefully this stuff supports like Windows 10 now, the software, and I can get a more modern computer in its place that, shall we say, more HIPAA compliant, and move on from there. Met with a new client this week, and it's very interesting. I won't be able to give any of the details, except that they are going to be terminating the president. And with that, the external IT support that set everything up is going to be let go because they're very tight with the president. I happen to have a client that is on the board of directors for this organization. So they brought me in this week to do a security assessment on everything. So it got me in the door to be able to look at everything, test passwords that they have to make sure that they match. And now, shall I say, I'm putting the final report together and we are ready for when they pull the trigger, and that's going to happen. It's a very interesting story. I'd love to hear other stories like that, that, you know, you don't give away anything about the industry or the client or who they are. Got to maintain anonymity. So I'm ready for when they call and say, all right, Mike, lower the boom. I have software that I downloaded and put Instant House Call on a USB stick. They will install it at the server. And even worst case, I'm going to be able to log into a workstation because I tested that and RDP's on for the server, and I'm going to be able to connect anyway. So even if we can't get this done at the server, I can remote in, disable all the accounts, change passwords, do everything that's necessary. And then hopefully, as I put a proposal together for support, I just picked up a new client. So that's what we're hoping. I think it's time that I get to some email here. This is from Cormac, who regular listener, and he says, hello, Mike, again from Ireland. Hope all is good with you. Here is a handy 3-minute way to convert over to GPT. It's handy for running TPM 2.0 and BitLocker. Takes less than 5 minutes to do. Might be handy for someone listening. Thanks for the great show. Respect from Ireland. Cormac, thank you so much. And I will have a link to this YouTube video. Dexter, who I'm not sure if he's in the chat tonight, he responded to the problem I'm having with the error that you get when you try to preview Word. Do you know that is still giving my client a headache? And it's either an Office update that has to happen, because it's Office 365, or Windows 10 Pro. And one of the things Dexter said is, I had problems on some PCs running 10, installing Viper AV and Instant House Call. Giving permissions fixed it. I gave all of the permissions necessary. I mean, I went overboard, and that did not fix the problem. This is from Keith. Data transfer between computers. Hi, Mike. Question I don't think you've talked about in the past. Actually, I did, but it was a long time ago with a product I don't think is in existence. And it was a real long time ago. The product was Laplink. Can you recommend a USB cable to connect two computers together to be able to transfer data, similar to Mac target mode where the drive mounts on the computer as a hard drive? I have a data migration coming up next week. I am ordering the replacement computer tomorrow. Both computers are all-in-one computers, and I know that pulling apart an all-in-one can sometimes be challenging without breaking something. Are you able to suggest a USB 2 or 3 cable I can connect both computers together so that I can use FAB's auto backup to migrate the data from the old computer to the new computer? I found a few cables on Amazon, but they also include transfer programs, and they don't mention whether they mount the remote drive as a letter or if I have to use their transfer program. I trust FAB's auto backup to move the data correctly and don't have time to test the software that comes with the cable. Now, I got a question. You could always have an external drive that is USB mounted, and I know it's a pain, and use FABs to back up to that one drive, then take that drive over physically to the other system and do a restore. I know you would rather use the transfer option. If you have two computers, I started thinking about this. Now, I don't know of a USB cable, but there used to be a cable that would come with Laplink. Now, Tony in the chat nailed my response, which is what I'm going to talk about. Use an Ethernet crossover cable. So you can plug, you can easily get a crossover cable from Amazon. And that's exactly how I replied to Keith here. I said, go on Amazon, get a crossover cable. And if you can, order it as a strange color. I remember in the corporate world and our data center, we wanted a horrific color for a cable that would stand out, that if we seen it, we knew it was a crossover. And we bought purple crossover cables. So you were not allowed to buy a normal cable with the color purple. It was always a purple crossover cable. And I remember that because we use crossover cables all the time for different things in networking. I have not used one myself for a long time. So I think that's a great way to set up network sharing, a little peer-to-peer network between the two computers, do the transfer, piece of cake. And you should get maximum transfer between the two systems. And if they have a gig port, it's going to go pretty good. That's my recommendation. But if you have a USB cable that can do the trick or any other info, here's a good question Tom has. If both computers are on the same network, can't you transfer over the network with FABs? You know, you can, because all it is a share that your target is to, but I don't think it will go exactly to the place unless you were to share out the whole C drive. So I've never done a FABs transfer like that, but it brings up a good point. And Fabrice, if you are listening to this, and I will email him, I'll make sure he does. What's your answer in using your software in doing a machine-to-machine transfer like that? What's your approved method in doing that transfer? That's a tremendous question. I can't live without FABs. Tonight, well, actually, that wasn't tonight, like late this afternoon, my son was on site, and we did a FABs transfer on a system that crashed the other day, and it was Windows 7. So we tried a couple minutes to fix it, but we told the client, look, you got to convert all these systems anyway. It's actually a doctor's office. It's not worth spending the time trying to fix this. Let's pop out the drive, put a solid state drive in there. It was already a Core i5, 8 gigs of RAM, not a problem. I said, we'll do Windows 10 from scratch. I said, your drive's working. So all we got to do is transfer the files. We used FABs to transfer it. I remoted in because this needed a little custom tweaking and some other software that needed to be installed. They're a hearing aid doctor, so they got special hearing software and different products that need to be installed that I'm familiar with the installation. So my son was my feet on the ground, my hands and ears and eyes on site, got everything connected, got it announced to the domain because there's Active Directory there, and then got instant house call up and running so I could remote in. And I quickly did the transfer of the data, set up the programs remotely, done, piece of cake. You can buy FABs with, I'm an affiliate, and the link is in the show notes for you to purchase FABs Auto Backup 7 Pro. It is required software in your toolkit. This is from Tom. Need your help with this one. He recently purchased 2 IP outdoor security cameras. Here's the bottom line. He cannot change the port forwarding for these 2 cameras for what port they're going to listen to, but they each pull a different IP address. How do you forward one port to 2 different IP addresses? As I'm thinking about this, maybe I'm missing something. What is the trick? What if we have a port, but we have 3 or 4 different computers that we got to forward to? How can we split that? Or is there a trick? Or maybe you can't. There's got to be a way so he can remotely set up the port forwarding to the specific dedicated internal IP address. That's the bottom line. We're looking for a solution to that, and I don't have it. At least off the top of my head, I haven't had a chance to research that. The answer may be, Mike, you can't do it. So I'm not sure. So why would you be a camera manufacturer and make it where you can't change the default port that it's going to respond to? That doesn't make any sense. So you know what, Tom? I didn't reply to this. I think you should call tech support of the camera manufacturer and explain what you're trying to do. There's got to be a utility you can download or some kind of trick to change the port that that camera is going to respond to. There's just got to be. I can't believe they would make a camera where all the cameras are the same port. Well, how can you have multiple cameras in one location? There's got to be a way now that I'm thinking about this. Or I'd still like to know if there's a trick that we could implement. Outlook email issues. This is from Michael, and he is a fan of the podcast and all the podcasts on the Podnuts Network. He's 53, and on the side, he does IT consulting. He works for a very big company, and Michael, I'm protecting all the information you gave me, including the domain. The client's email is not on a blacklist if you go to MX Toolbox, but there's a particular client that his client is trying to email, and it's being blocked by spamrl.com, which is not listed in the blacklist from MX Toolbox at all. So Michael reached out for some help, and here's how I responded. I said, if you go to that URL, which is spamrl.com, they have a delisting process that you must follow. Fill it out and definitely go through that process. Second, have your client contact his client and ask them if his email can get whitelisted. And that's one way to get through that spam filtering. And then the third option that I mentioned, contact the user's email host and find out, are there any other suggestions or something that they can think of? And can they help in the delisting process? Couple things. It's strange. I've never had a client that was on a spam list that wasn't listed at MX Toolbox. I'm sure there are. There's probably others, but I've just never ran into that. And Michael here listener has ran into it. So that's my recommendations for this particular scenario. And one of the other problems is when you have a dynamic IP address and you're a business and you're sending out emails, you can get lumped. Your IP address can be lumped with a group of IPs. And I disagree with this type of spam filtering, which is just to take a whole IP segment, a whole block of IPs, and just block them all. You're guilty without proving your innocence, just guilty because you happen to have an IP address that's close to or within a block of others. You should block it by the individual IP address. I get it, but they block big, especially if you're like a Verizon or Comcast user. And I have users that their business, they do not have a static IP address. And this is one of the reasons you want to have a static IP address if you're a business, because just not having your IP address be blacklisted. Your email address may not be, but your IP could be blocked because not you, your neighbor's the guilty party. So as Taz, what I couldn't think of, it was guilt by association. And I'm having trouble pulling these things out of my head tonight. Anyway, thank you, Taz. That's my recommendation. Michael's passing that on to his client. Please follow back up, follow up with me. Let me know how you made out and which of those solutions are working. Hopefully one of them is working. That is it for tonight's show. We made it through, hopefully, with just terrible, terrible thunderstorms. And you may not be hearing them, but I'm hearing them outside. The thunder, the lightning, and I'm just waiting for the power to go down any second. If you buy anything from Amazon or know anybody, and we got the big Amazon Prime Day coming up, this is your chance to help support Carrie Holzman and myself, supporting Tech Vets and the Mike Tech Show, Carrie Holzman's YouTube videos. This is how you can show your support. Use our link in the show notes. Before you add something to your cart, click on that link. Then go to Amazon, and it'll actually bring you to Amazon. Now, do all your purchasing, add it all to the cart. We will get a small commission. Your price stays the same. Why not help us out? Carrie and I share that account for the affiliation for you purchasing all from Amazon. Abuse the link. We really appreciate it. And you have been coming through. And from the bottom of our hearts, we really greatly appreciate you supporting the show. Instant House Call. I don't think there's been a day since I've been in business, since I've been using Instant House Call, that I haven't used it. I use it every day. I use it when I'm on vacation. I use it all the time. My son, we live in Instant House Call for supporting our clients. Give it a try. Go to instanthousecall.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Download your 15-day trial. You will love it. That is it for tonight's show. There will not be a show next week because I'm traveling Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. If I do a show, I will tweet, I will Facebook. I need enough time to be able to edit it. Maybe I do a show, if I have the opportunity, it will be significantly earlier so I can have time next Thursday night to edit it. That's the only way I'm going to be able to get a show out next week. I will do my best effort, but we're getting up at 5 a.m. and I'm driving to Pittsburgh on Friday morning, and we're in Pittsburgh until Sunday night. Everybody, if I don't see you next week, have a great 2 weeks, and then we'll meet back here, same time, same channel. That's it. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.